Everybody's on time. I would like to invite Mark Barnes, who is going to discuss the federal affairs briefing, a legislation affecting civil society. This is a moving target. So kudos to Mark for being willing to follow the clay target, so to speak.
Good morning, and my name is Mark Barnes. I'm from Mark Barnes and Associates. We're firearms lawyers. We represent the trade, individuals, and organizations that are involved with firearms, gun ownership, and we do international public policy as well. So I don't really want to be too redundant on what Alan brought to your attention in terms of what's happening in Washington, but a couple of things that I'm going to give a little bit more detail on. As Alan said, the president's been considering universal background checks in a limited form, red flag laws, extreme protection orders, and also he's had to listen to the Democrats who have been proposing individual owner licensing and registration, which of course he rejects outright. Also, as Alan pointed out, H.R. 8 and H.R. 112 or 1112 passed by the House in February will not see the light of day, in my opinion, or any form of it. And as he pointed out, the contenders for the Democratic nomination for the presidency have been virulent in their anti-gun approaches. And that has made it a lot more difficult to have any kind of balanced dialogue in Washington. Which brings me to an important point that I wanted to bring to the entire group's attention. How many people in here have looked at the United States Secret Service report on mass shootings that was published in July of this year? Raise your hand. A few of you have. All of you should go to the website for the Secret Service or just Google the name of the report, which is Mass Attacks in Public Spaces. Everyone wants mass shootings to be decreased, of course. And when you look at how the Secret Service approaches this, I think it would be well advised for our policymakers in Washington, D.C. to read the facts. The summary from the Secret Service report says that many of the key findings in both 2017 and 2018 reflect similarities among the incidents and the attackers. For example, attacks occurred across the country and attackers predominantly used firearms. Okay, we all know that, but let's continue. The majority of attackers elicited concern in others, and two-thirds had histories of mental health symptoms or treatment. A majority of the attackers had recently experienced significant stressors, with just over half the attackers experiencing financial instability in that same time frame. The report, I think, gives all of us who are the gun lobby the facts on mass shootings, because the tables give you the data that you need to have discourse with your legislators in your individual states. And really, the Secret Service makes what they call considerations. When you think about the role of the Secret Service, the primary role is to stop the threat. How do we stop the threat? And they go through several considerations. First of all, mental health and mental wellness. Secondly, the importance of getting people involved to report. But the Secret Service is quite fair. They say, we're not seeking over-reporting. We're seeking for people to have a situational awareness so they can bring it to the attention of authorities who may be able to help intervene. And finally, the law enforcement partnerships with the community. None of this really comes down to gun control. It really comes down to how do we assess the threat, design strategies to intervene, and reduce the violence. But this isn't the dialogue in Washington right now. The dialogue is to focus on the firearm. And that's really, really missing the entire point. If the entire point is that you want to reduce this type of gun violence, we already know the facts. We already have the data. With regard to what Alan mentioned on the, quote, idea that's floating around Washington, you can find on the net, for example, idea for new unlicensed commercial sale and background checks. It's a one-page policy paper. And this policy paper, as Alan mentioned, outlines a couple of, quote, ideas. Now, this paper was ascribed to being done by perhaps the Department of Justice. I'm not sure who drafted it inside the administration. But it does contain a provision to have limited background checks performed by non-gun dealers through people who would be licensed transfer agents. Part of the idea about this idea of licensed transfer agents is that the buyer information would not be retained. It's an idea that's not necessarily new. I represent the National Association of Arms Shows, the gun show promoters in the United States. In 1999, many of you will recall when President Clinton, who hardly supported gun rights, was the author of the assault weapons ban, wanted to eliminate gun shows, essentially. And we defeated him in 1999. But one of the considerations at that time was to allow private citizens an opportunity to know who they're selling the firearm to, whether or not they're a prohibited possessor. So it's not a new idea, it's an old idea. And whether it will, you know, gain any currency and further the dialogue in Washington, we'll just have to see. Finally, I just want to mention some of the kinds of pieces of legislation that have been introduced, which all of you know seem quite predictable in light of what we had in terms of a run of mass shootings this summer. H.R. 4255, requiring marking of secondary hidden serial numbers on all firearms. H.R. 4264, regarding prompt availability of records from military judicial proceedings. Good idea, because we had one instance in which the government information on a prohibited possessor was not put into the NICS system. H.R. 4271, requiring all firearms or their packaging to be labeled with National Suicide Prevention Lifeline information. H.R. 4324, expanding the current multiple sale reporting requirements to include all firearms. Here's one, H.R. 2449, by presidential candidate, although he may not stay in much longer, according to reports this morning, Senator Cory Booker, requiring, yeah, we got to get that field down a lot more, requiring individual licensing to purchase or receive firearms with each license valid for only a single firearm acquisition. Yeah, okay. So this is the kind of stuff that is happening in Washington right now, and it's going to continue. What is really going to happen? I tend to agree with Alan that at the end of the day, you still need 60 votes in the United States Senate. And I think it was best summarized by a couple of Republican senators who are deeply devoted to the Second Amendment and were speaking out and saying, I'm willing to look at almost anything and be reasonable. But I'm going to tell you right now that anything that infringes on the right of a law-abiding American to keep and bear arms, I'm not going to support it. And I would hope that all of those senators and the good members of the House of Representatives who are willing to listen will look at the data that our own government has produced, that we've paid for, that shows that there are strategies that can significantly reduce mass shootings without having to infringe on our gun rights. Thank you.